Steve, good evening. Thank you, Steve. You'll need to unmute. You'll need to unmute, Steve.
I sometimes see my role as starting a conversation, so I'll start the conversation. I like that last paragraph, the second to the last line in the last paragraph, where it says there's an opportunity to do something positive, but we barely notice or take that opportunity. And it aligns with something that I've been, a line from Gurdjieff that I've been sitting with a lot, and that is that time is the ideally unique subjective phenomenon, that we can take any moment we want and add vertical depth to it that is profound, or we can just live in the flat land all the time. And this, the character and the duration of that time is much, much longer than living a mechanical life of this tight horizontal mechanical existence. So just appreciating those moments. I was reading ahead with our theme of the day today, and it's noticing. And it's just another one of those ways and opportunities to do an interstop. Just take a moment and stop and take it in. So thank you.
Thank you, Steve. May it be so. Yes. Margaret, good evening.
I think it takes a lot of courage to understand and to have compassion when it comes to strangers and meeting somebody that in that moment you're caught and what you do in your body language and your eye contact all matters. And to see the Christ within everyone is hard. It is very hard. And I have to admit, I met someone coming out of Barton Springs, which is the heart of Austin, a natural spring. And he was homeless and he had bathed in the spring. And when I saw him, and he looked like Jesus, with a beard, and he looked happy. He was refreshed. He had bathed in the spring. And I looked at him, and then I felt the fear. And that moment told me I have a lot of work to do. Mm-hmm. And I know there's help, and it's freely given. And I'm inviting that.
Thank you, Margaret. Thank you. Tracy, good evening.
Oh, good evening. The image spoke to me, and what I noticed, and what I felt when I saw it was, at first it kind of looked like a shell. I was looking at it with soft eyes, and I thought about noticing, just remembering to notice things. It's almost like remembering to crack out of your shell, you know, the patterns of our shell each day, or my shell, and to look out and notice something new. And I actually read the email early this morning, and I worked on that a little bit on a walk I took this morning to try to notice things in a new way. And it was harder than I thought. It wasn't really natural. And so then I noticed when I looked at it a little more closely, the picture, it kind of looked, I don't know, more like a rock, or like it had rock in it. And I noticed like the bottom was uneven and jagged. And yet the top was cut very cleanly right above the eyes. I mean, kind of a straight line. It looked like it was intentionally cut versus just hacked away at, or maybe eroded from weather. And I just found that interesting too, that there might be effort obviously involved, because it was effort getting that line straight. That's not a typical type of line you see in nature. And so I guess I came away with a wish to notice more, because it is so joyful and freeing to see things differently.
Indeed it is. Thank you, Tracy. Jim, good evening.
Hello, Marianne. I had a picture of a spider web, and the spider sitting at the corner quietly, waiting, and feeling the vibrations of the web if anything were to land in it or to rub it, and then instinctively moving towards whatever it was. And I had this picture of how quiet everything would be up until that moment. And the quietness that is in me, that if I allow it to be present, it will sense its way into that finer energy. Mm-hmm. So that when that opening comes, I can move towards it. So I was greatly encouraged by this.
Very good. Thank you, Jim. Thank you. Greta, good evening.
I, like Tracy, was really engaged with the photo, and for many different reasons. First, I was looking at it and I realized that I was looking at a child behind there whose gender I didn't know, and it didn't really matter. But that if that child was looking out from that child's perspective, that chink in the sheet metal was way down below my general line of sight. Mm-hmm. And that the child had beautiful eyes and very, very smooth skin, so that the child was not at all mistreated or anything like that. And that chink, it was puzzling. What was it? Was it a fence, like a sheet metal fence? Or perhaps that child was sitting on something high up looking out. I didn't know. But it was the color combinations, the perspective. There was a line at the bottom of the sheet metal that almost corresponded with the child's eye. It was almost a straight line up, but it wasn't. And just the small part of the face, there was a tendency for me to go into story, but I really tried to, you know, keep away from that by examining further. So it was a really good exercise in noticing. Thank you.
Thank you, Greta. How wondrous to notice. How wondrous. And Brad or Billy, you know, you'll be our last sharing for this portion, but welcome.
Well, hi. So I relate to Tracy and Greta in the image. To me, it was talking about wanting to touch unity. And to me, it was a chink in our armor. A rusted chink in our armor, and a childlike presence with a capital P staring out. And right under one eye looked like a rusty tear, mm-hmm. and tears in the child's eye. It was just really touching to me.
Yes, thank you, Brad. Isn't it wondrous what we can see when we notice?
Yes.
Yes, what a delight. Thank you, everyone, for your sharing. So now it is my joy to introduce Pamela and Michael, who will accompany us on the journey of sharing about the finer life energy that we've been looking at the last couple of weeks. Welcome, dear friends.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. Just before we move on, the other thing about that image was looking into the reflection of the eye and seeing who was seeing the child and the portal of being beyond being, beyond being. That was very powerful for me. So we're here tonight just for a brief bit to check in with all of you and see what you've seen. What have you noticed? What have you learned? How has anything that we've explored the last few weeks affected your own work, your work aims, your own trajectory? And so we invite any of your reflections or questions, or do you wish we would have mentioned something that we didn't? And maybe you could. Tamara or Martin.
Yes, so I learned a lot in the last week about sex center energy, and one of the things I got out of it was taking your sex center energy. And trying to move it out of your instinctive center into your higher emotional center. And to me, that was just kind of a beautiful way of saying, use it in a loving way, or just use that energy in a co-creation of the universe. And it really resonated with me, so.
Yeah, me too. Thank you, Tamara. I think the only thing I would add to what you said is that it's not really like we can do that, but it does happen with just the work that we do. And I think all of the reflections were really pointing to the fact that just the normal course of the basic work of our work is what transforms this energy and does just what you described, Tamara. Thank you. Stephanie.
Hey, everyone. I just wanted to say that one thing that really came out of last week for me was I was really moved by the words that you put on the screen that Cynthia had said, Cynthia Brugio, so much so they were shocking in a way, and I was really drawn to it, and I went and I watched that talk that she gave, and she continued to make really enlightening points that I feel like a lot of people in a lot of the spiritual paths that I've been in don't really talk about, particularly being wrapped up in like identity politics and just all that self-love that comes through that. And her And also I felt like she just made it easier. Like, actually, you don't have to do all of that. You don't have to know your Enneagram type. You don't have to do all this kind of BS. You can just, as she said, take yourself out of your own anus, which was amazing, and get to the work of creating finer energies for the good of the world. And so you asked how these talks have changed my work. And I would say since I listened to that and heard last week, all week I've just been really focused on producing love energy, all of those other energies that she talks about, compassion, forbearance, all of those things, and really trying to actively choose them instead of getting caught up in, I mean, just whatever it is, like, oh, why am I acting this way? Oh, what is this? What happened in childhood? What is my trauma? And she actually had some really powerful things to say about trauma in that talk, mm-hmm. if anybody wants mm-hmm. to listen to that. And I feel like it was just really freeing to think that, okay, we don't really, you can spend that time there. And obviously there is some need for that at a certain level, but there comes a time when it's time to just get to the business of doing it. And right. I felt like right. that gave me a lot of freedom to do it. And I feel like I really am thankful for that. So thank you.
Thank you.
That's awesome. Thank you. Yeah. Cynthia feels the urgency of the situation in a big way. And I think as a advanced teacher, that's what she's calling us all to, is to get really clear about what's useful work.
Yeah, we agree so strongly with everything that you just said. And just to return to something, to a point that Pamela made last week, that this is the work that lifts the whole. So there's part of the focus that we do early on in the work, which is about coming to know our own being, and we work on ourselves. But when we make this transition that you just spoke of, it is work for the greater good, and it is lifting all of creation.
And I firmly believe that those of you who are new to the work, it, because you're entering a deep accumulator, that there's an accelerated course here where you don't need to spend so much time there. You can just get in the river and start flowing. And we're all lifted up by that. So that kind of initial grinding work of self-knowledge and digging into the layers, which took some of us a lot longer, doesn't need to take as long anymore.
It's really not that interesting.
No, and it's not interesting. God, no. So true.
Tracy?
Well, good evening. I just wanted to take a moment to thank you both. This has just been an incredible blessing for me personally. I could speak about a number of things, but I'll just say the food diagram. thank you for rescuing that for me. It's always been very obtuse. It always has been very weird, this whole kind of feeding thing. And I've kind of compartmentalized it. I've never really integrated it. And I think the teaching that you brought, your own experience, and bringing that fully to life, what does this really mean? And seeing how these very precious C12 energies, you know, this is our divine gift. This is our spark. This is where the magic happens. And that we can participate in the evolution of man, in the furthering of consciousness, just by, you know, mindful attention to how we nurture this within us, and not allow that to leak out in a thousand different ways that it wants to go. So I I've really felt a whole new level of will coming from this, and just a sense of gratitude, deep gratitude. I've been given so much, and want to return that as much as I can. So thank you both for illuminating that in a profound way.
And some thanks we need to give to Marianne, who was part of the threesome with us in talking about the content. And Marianne felt very strongly about starting with that food diagram, which did turn out to be a fruitful jumping off point. So thank you, Marianne. Kathleen.
Well, I definitely want to echo what Tracy just said in gratefulness, and particularly that while you still talked about the esoteric part, you said, and really we need to just keep doing what we're doing. But I had such a great opportunity in that I had been sick for 3 weeks, just a low level, low energy sick. And I heard the message, you are in a fallow period. And so I tried to just be there with it and say, okay, that's what's happening. Well, this week, suddenly I had energy. I felt so much better. And I thought, oh, well, what kind of energy is this? And because of the class, it made me try to be more sensitive to it and see how it was manifesting and see, oh, I can have this important emotional phone call. And I'm using that energy for my emotional center to have work on this issue. And I cleaned out my closet and I'm using that in a creative energy in my moving center. And it was just that switch of being able to see from going to low to high, but really appreciating how I feel like I could feel that it was coming from my instinctive center. And then it was generative, that it was creative, and that I could apply it in different ways. And that was because of the class. So it's an appreciation testimony.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Yeah. Thank you, Kathleen.
Yeah.
Ken.
Okay. Well, I just want to echo the gratitude on the treatment of the topic. This is something that I've wondered about for many years, and to just hear that doing the work is the transformation of the sexual energy that was big. The other thing that was big is, you know, and the image of the bivalve kind of brought this all together, that the energy is just like it has to flow through us. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, someone mentioned like we misname it sexual energy. And that really resonated, because what became clear is that that's just where the energy gets stuck in us. And as we're doing the work, or we're not doing the work, I now can see much more clearly what it means to leak energy and what's happening when the energy is being leaked. I've observed over the last couple of years this welling of energy that I know is a result of doing the work. And yet there's this wondering, it's like, what to do with that? And I see how the old habits come to rise simply as a means to release the energy. Hmm. Because it has to go somewhere. So it was really useful to see all that come together, and again, just to recognize that it's, you know, the sexual energy, it's just where it gets stuck, and then it gets expressed from that center. in negative ways, sometimes, and in positive ways, other times. Anyway, those are my observations. I really am grateful for you bringing this and treating it in such a way. Thank you.
Well, and Ken, your own life, the fact that you were called to greater service at CCH and are playing a part of greater service is a testament to how this energy gets used and where it flows and what you're called to as that energy matures. So I see you as just a witness of that transformation of energy because of the work you've done. Rebecca.
Well, last Thursday morning when I received this, the journey email, I was parked in the Davis Mountains. And this email just carried me away. I mean, I found myself reading it out loud, almost like it was a hymn. And I just felt, you know, I was surrounded by this amazing beauty. There were monsoons coming in the afternoon. There were rainbows after the monsoon. I went on a ranger talk where he was talking about ecology and how, you know, what had happened millions of years ago and how, you know, and I just, the part of the email that I just felt swept up in was when Elio Delio was talking about Teilhard speaking of the creative role of erotic attraction, not only on the level of the individual, but the universe itself is erotic. Passion is the true stuff of the universe. The whole creation is groaning in the pains of new birth. I mean, I was just moved in ways that you can tell I'm having a very difficult time verbalizing, but that's what I got to say. Oh, the stars. Well, we could talk about the stars, but yeah. You guys know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I can feel your energy. You don't have to use words. I can feel it. I think that, I mean, Ilya said it that way, and then Cynthia said it with that formula. And yeah. The two of them together have really switched this paradigm that it was agape energy that created everything. And they really switched it to say, no, this was just raw Eros energy. And we're here, we're the transmitters that help to mature that energy into agape energy. That's our role. And boy, that changes what a life is for, doesn't it?
It does indeed.
And the fact that it landed so deeply in you, Rebecca, that you could just feel that kind of passionate force, that life energy that we've been trying to find new names for and realize our part in. I mean, it's a beautiful thing to connect with that so profoundly, but also to really profoundly connect with the part we have to play with that energy.
Yes. And I can't remember if it was part of that email where the suggestion was to lie on the ground. I mean, I didn't do that, but I really understood the reason for suggesting it and how useful that could be, because it was moving.
Yeah.
Thank you. There's a place I want to go with what you just shared and with what Ken shared. And it is the rebranding of what this energy has been known as in the work. In Teilhard de Chardin's work, he talks about something called the law of complexification, which is the driving energy of evolution toward oneness in Christ. Complexification in his world is the coming together of things that are disparate. So two things become one, and then, you know, things continue aggregating. That's what turns cells into people, it what turns people into societies, it what turns planets into solar systems and so on. And this energy that we've been discussing for a couple of weeks is the energy of relationship. It's the energy of binding together in relationship. At its lowest level, you know, it is coming together, that binding together in relationship for the sake of just regeneration. And where most of us get stuck is either the actuality or the hope of being able to at least bind together with one person in a deep way. But Teilhard says, no, this energy is the thing driving unity on a universal scale. This energy is what brings perhaps two together, or perhaps all of us together. It's what transcends difference and binds us together into a unity of spirit. It is that energy of love that is bringing us together and binding us. And so Teilhard says, this thing that we've been talking about for 2 weeks is the very energy that is driving the evolution of the universe, period. It's a hell of a game to play.
Thank you, Rebecca. Okay, Bonnie, we have just like a minute or two.
I'll do my best. My experience has to do with combining nature and noticing and my creativity. When I have a lot that's on my plate, I end up in nature. And this last week, I went on a photo shoot with a friend, and I saw something that looked like a poison ivy plant, and I backed off and said, stay away from it. But I looked closely, and it wasn't. And that reminded me to think about how things are not always as they seem, and people are not as they may initially seem. And it gave me pause to refocus and look at the leaf. And there was little holes in that leaf for the darkness that initially came in my head. And I saw the light coming through, like the light of knowledge, the light of understanding was coming through it. And I saw it in a different way. And that carried out in a very quick comment. I'd had a lot go on today, but I needed to focus. So I took my little animal to a daycare, and there's a lot of stuff going on there. But I saw the potential for negative energy. And I looked at the child that was sitting there reading to me and reading the Rascal. And I saw Christ, I saw the love in that child. I because of the earlier experiences and how the things are flowing, it accumulates. So I saw the joy and the transmission of flow of it was a beautiful experience, both the rascal me and the child. So it was a great time, and I'm seeing how this energy is flowing. And it's great, and it also is adding wonders to working with my creativity and my writing too. So thank you for your work. Sharing it with us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bonnie. That's beautiful. Thank you. Okay, Marianne.
Well, thank you, Pamela and Michael, for this last 2 weeks. I hope it brought joy to your hearts as well. So now I am delighted to introduce Miss Deborah Hale, known as the beloved Miss in the church community. And she's going to take us on a journey into noticing. And if I'm not mistaken, Miss Deborah, I think you brought some friends with you this evening. Could that be so?
Where am I? What is this place?
Deborah, will you pause just 1 second? I'm so sorry to interrupt. I'm having problems finding Deborah on the participant list. Is there a different name?
I am Ming Chao. I am Ming Chao.
Thank you. Here we go.
There, I can see myself.
You can take me off now, Catherine. Thank you.
Hey there, Ming Chao. What's up? Ming Chao have done something very, very bad. Well, fess up, little dude. What did you do this time? Oh, Tammy Sue, I signed up Chao Ling to the Journey School class to be the teacher. Well, I think that's a great idea, Ming Chao. No, it is bad, very bad. I did not tell Ming Chao. I did not ask her. She does not know. Well, gosh, Ming Chao, tonight is the Journey School night. She doesn't even know. What's the topic for the class this week? Noticing. Noticing? What is that? Is that the same as self-observation? How am I supposed to know? I am just a kid. Chao Ling is going to be so upset that I did this. Well, why didn't you tell her so she could get prepared? Can you teach the class, Tammy Sue? Then Chao Ling will never have to know. Well, you know I would if I knew anything about it. I'd love to be in front of an audience, but I can't help you, Ming Chao. Maybe I could go look for Chao Ling. She probably does know something about noticing. I hope she find her. Hee-haw! Hee-haw! Jack, I did not expect to see you here. What's up, bro? There is a disturbance in the force, and it is my fault. Well, I just happened to pass Tammy Sue. She was in a doozy of a tizzy. What have you done now, Ming Chao? I volunteered Chao Ling to teach the Journey School class on noticing. Well, now that can't be too hard. Maybe I could help. What do you think? Well, what do you know about noticing? Well, mostly I just know what Thich Nhat Hanh taught about noticing. He has a whole practice on it, you know. How does that go? Well, it's a noticing practice that works with your breathing. You notice what's here now. Well, for you, little buddy, it might go something like this. Breathing in, I notice my heart is racing. Oh, yes. Breathing in, I do notice my heart is racing. Breathing out, I smile. Breathing out, I smile. Well, now that's a passable effort. Now, Ming Chao, try it again. Breathing in, I notice my heart. It's still racing. Breathing in, I do notice my heart is still racing. Breathing out, I smile. Breathing out, I smile. Good, good. Now try this. I notice I am now. Now I am. Hee-haw! Does Ming Chao also have to make the hee-haw? Nah, that ain't necessary. Okay, breathing in, I notice I am. Breathing out, now I am. Well, how's that doing for you? Actually, it feels easier to breathe again. Notice breathing is helping. Thank you, Jack. Thank you, Jack. No problem, pal. I can teach the class this evening if Chao Ling don't take a shine to the idea. But say, have you seen Granny anywhere? No, but I am positive she is too big to miss. Right you are. Well, so long, sucker. Okay, this will not be so bad. We have backup plan in place. Oh, look, there are green tea cakes. I can offer one to Jack. Wait up, Jack.
Hi, Tammy Sue.
Oh, hey there, Red. Have you seen Chao Ling?
Yeah, she was doing Tai Chi near the pond with some other pandas.
You're sure it was her, Red?
Yeah, I was near the lake at the park. Oh gosh, I was so mad. I was arguing with my brother Bobby when I noticed that we were about to storm right through Chao Ling's Tai Chi class.
Oh, Lord, what did Bobby do this time?
Well, it was not such a big deal. He dropped the plastic wrapper from his juice box right on the ground in the park. He noticed it, but he didn't stop to pick it up.
Well, did he pick it up after you got after him?
No, but I did. And when I stood up, I was suddenly aware that we were almost in the middle of Chao Ling's Tai Chi class. And Bobby noticed it too, so we just sort of left quietly.
Do you think Chao Ling is still over by the lake? Ming Chao is looking for her. He signed her up to teach the Journey School class, and he never told her, and it's Thursday already.
Well, I don't know how long that Tai Chi class lasts. You could go check, but before you go, Tammy Sue, have you seen Granny?
Well, not recently. To tell you the truth, Red, we had another falling out and I've been avoiding her.
Well, I'd like to hear all about that, but I wonder if we shouldn't both go look for Chao Ling. She's going to need some time to prepare for the Journey School class. Boy, if Bobby did something like that to me, I wouldn't speak to him for a month.
Well, I don't think that would bother Bobby one bit. Hey, maybe one of us should stay here to let Ming Chao know we've got a lead on where Chao Ling is.
Well, I'll go, Tammy Sue. No offense, but I think it would be faster.
Right you are. I'll wait here for Ming Chao. Hello, Tammy Sue. I just passed Red Riding Hood. She said that she had come to find me and that I should come to find you.
Well, the thing is, well, I think Ming Chao has something to tell you. I'm going to go fetch him. But while I'm gone, you should prepare yourself for a big shock. And Chao Ling, go easy on the little feller, okay? If I am to spend this time preparing for a big shock, I will follow my breath. I will remember God. Poor Ming Chao, he is like a house under construction. I am sure whatever he has done this time will not be nearly as devastating as he imagines. Chao Ling, I am so glad I found you. Well, what is this big shock I am preparing to receive, Ming Chao? Oh, I signed you up to teach the journey school class. Ming Chao, that is not my job. It is for advanced students like Pamela and Michael, Beverly, or Peter. I'm sure the abbess will not want a panda to take on such a task. No, you do not understand. It has been confirmed. I see. I see. That is all you have to say when I have put you in this terrible position? I am not worried. I will go to the abbess and tell her. I will let her know you made a mistake. She will understand. Oh, I do not think you understand. I signed you up to be the teacher tonight. It was a very bad, bad thing for me to do because I did not ask and I did not tell you. The class is tonight. There is no time to find another teacher. I see. Well, Ming Chao, what is it that I am scheduled to teach tonight? Noticing. I see. That is not something I remember from the commentaries. Are you quite sure? I am afraid so, noticing. But if it is any consolation, Jack said he would be happy to help. I will go get him. I noticed that Ming Chao disappeared rather quickly. Perhaps he is afraid I will not be happy about this. Tammy Sue was correct. It is a shock. It will not happen if I do not master my reaction. I notice that it would be easy to get upset with Ming Chao, but I do not have time for that. I must use my attention. I cannot disappoint the abbess or the students. I see this is something that must be done. What do I know about noticing? It must come from my own experience. I will start with the present moment. I wish to say yes, to give this a place in me. I notice I have a wish to have help with noticing. I will call upon real I. Yes. Breathing in, I notice my wish to experience noticing. Breathing out, I feel tension draining out of my neck and belly. Oh, now I notice a physical change beginning. Something from a higher world is here. It is available now. I notice I am on the threshold of this higher world. There is a higher order of laws here. I am aware of my body. A state of noticing is arising in me. I have never done this before. But just saying yes is very liberating. It shall all be well. I notice suddenly, I am not alone here. Birds are here. They have noticed me too. Cicadas are taking turns with their singing. I bless them. The breezes are stirring up the trees. Oh, I notice the many shades of green in the yard. I bless this garden. Oh, some of these plants need water. I notice they are wilting. It is good they are on the watering schedule for today. I notice Ming Chao is standing in the bamboo. He has a worried look upon his little face. I bless him, and in peace I request the highest good for him. Now I notice there is traffic on the road. I bless each traveler. I am here under this blue sky filled with floating clouds. I notice the thought that the students of the Journey School are here in my heart as I prepare to talk. I feel my great love for each of them and for our teachers. I bless them, and in peace I request the highest good for each of us. Now I notice that Jack is approaching.
Chowling, Chowling, how is it with you? Hee-haw! Have you been made aware of Ming Chao's grand gesture?
Yes, Jack, it came to my attention.
And how did that go over with you? You don't look like a furious, furry little female. I guess I lost my bet with Tammy Sue.
I am fine, Jack. I am lucky to have been given freedom from overreacting to what is happening, and I am thankful for that. I am noticing that now I am under the laws of World 24 instead of World 48. I can see that things are what they are. This is something I can see. There was something missing before.
Well, that's good, because you don't have much of a choice.
I did choose, though. I made a decision to say yes and bring my attention to this.
Well, I'm willing to help you with this noticing class if you want. I thought up a quiz show we could play if your talk don't take up all the time. I thought we could call it Jack Asks.
That could border on rudeness. Respectfully, I wish to know how this quiz show could function before I agree or disagree.
Well, I, Jack, will ask noticing questions and the class can raise their digital hands.
And what would Chao Ling need to do?
Well, nothing, I guess.
That sounds good. I am not afraid to be nothing. I will meet you back here at 7 o'clock. I am going to go and do my sit.
Well, boys and girls, Chao Ling is pretty good at noticing things, but it's funny she didn't notice that she's still on Pacific time after her trip out to the San Diego Zoo. She didn't notice the cameras rolling and that she's literally done for the day. But that suits me just fine, because I think my quiz show is going to be a real hoot. Now, this quiz show, Jack Asks, has some choices to make. You know, it's kind of like choose your own adventure. There are a few ways that we all can play the noticing game. We can notice and investigate. We can notice and initiate. Notice and procrastinate. Notice and communicate. Notice and reciprocate. Notice and alleviate. Notice and appreciate. And we can notice and participate. And the rules of this game are that Jack asks. And my first noticing question is this. Which one of you Journey students wants to raise their digital hand and talk about having an opportunity to do something positive and just putting it off? That would be notice and procrastinate, by the way. And I'd like to hear some examples. Do any of you notice how you manage to just put things off? All right, I see, Alan Craig, nope, he disappeared. I thought I saw one of the Cardenas people. No, there's Alan Craig again. Alan, what do you think? Have you noticed something positive that you could have done and just blew it off?
Well, I notice when I blow things off, it's because I'm looking at them as if something that I have to do rather than something that I get to do.
Right.
When I have to do it, there's a resistance. And I've noticed that.
Now, can you give us an example?
I can't think of anything specific at the moment. I just, or maybe there's nothing I want to confess.
Oh, now there we have it. There we have it. I hear you. I wouldn't want to confess much myself. All right, Alan. Thank you for sharing. Now, does anybody else looks like maybe that's Miss Jane? Miss Jane, have you had an opportunity to do something positive and just procrastinated it?
Yes. I have to confess that I have put off not only cleaning out closets and drawers in our garage, but I've put off some other things that, like Alan, I might not be ready to confess, but I'm so grateful. I love you. And I'm so grateful to have an opportunity to share that as a type 9 on the Enneagram, the go along to get along kind of person, it's like, it's time to reassess and have this opportunity to be so grateful for this. Thank you.
All right. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. Well, we got another boatload of questions here. So let's do this one next. But if anybody really wanted to talk about that one, you can always come back into it. Who has had the opportunity to do something positive and got right on it? And what is the change that you notice in your being when you don't procrastinate? And again, I'd sure love some examples. So the question again is, who has noticed the opportunity to do something positive and got right on it? And did you notice a change in your being? All right, we've got the fields. One of the fields is volunteering. Let's hear what you have to say.
So I had an opportunity yesterday. I was thinking I needed some more hummingbird feeders. And my first thought was I'm going to go on Amazon and buy some hummingbird feeders. But then something came up in me and it said, no, you know, I'm trying not to like resort to always going to the same place. And I wanted to try to support local businesses. So anyways, I just decided I would go to a local business and I bought my hummingbird feeders. And that was, to me, I just walked out and I remember thinking to myself, well, I think I have a coupon. And I thought, nope, this is local business. I'm not going to worry about that. And then I ended up telling some people, hey, I've decided I'm only going to go local if I can. And it all of a sudden, all these people started going to their business and buying hummingbird feeders. And so it just really made me feel like I had been proactive and been conscious and just, you know, trying to, you know, see things in a different way and maybe putting my energy out and helping others. So anyways, that was just a small thing.
Well, it's not so small. I hope you notice them hummingbirds, because they're going to be real happy hummingbirds. Anybody else want to share? Looks like Margaret Weaver.
Hi, Jack.
Hey there, Margaret. Looking good.
Oh, thank you. I wanted to tell you that I skimmed the book, The Artist Way Every Day, and I tried to write the first writing. I didn't save it, but that's okay. I'm over that. The second one, and what it is, it's after I talk with my work partner and study and read all the excerpts and all the writer's work, then I just try to write in my own word, and I'm trying to get the writer's voice to come out. I just love to write. So the second passage, I started feeling more free in the writing and more creative. And there were some quotes from Father Keating in there to get me started, but I was writing probably not the way she wanted me to, but she wants 3 pages and I had maybe 300 words, but it's a good start.
You betcha it is. The morning pages is real important. It gets that creative energy that y'all been talking about the last few weeks. Some of my favorite kind of energy. Gets it all going. All right, shall we go to another question, since I don't see any more hands up right now? My next question is, has anybody ever noticed that you're out to eat with a bunch of folks and everyone at your table is looking at the phone? And I wonder, have any of you got any idea what kind of steps you can take to be more present in that situation so you can notice and participate? It's not just restaurants, y'all. It's everywhere. People are on their phones. They're just glued to them. I don't personally have a phone myself, but I'm sure you've seen it and I'm sure you've done it. Fess up now. Nobody's going to raise their hand? Oh, now here we have a brave soul, Miss Kathy. All right, Kathy. Hee-haw. Let us know about it.
So I can actually speak to this one and the last one. I have a bounty of basil in my garden and it was just overgrown. And so I trimmed it back and I had all of this fresh basil and I wanted to turn it into pesto. So I came home from work and I was kind of tired and I felt the resistance to the what I perceived as a chore ahead. And I just said, no, I could just relax this evening. And that would probably involve too much screen time and a little less presence than I would like, or I could make all of this pesto. So I made all the pesto. And not only do I have 144 ounces of pesto in my freezer right now, but all of my cells were just vibrating with joy. And it wasn't just the creating the pesto, turning something that grew in the garden into something delicious, but it was that I wasn't having screen time. And even though I think I'm enjoying my screen time, it doesn't bring my cells joy the way that creative exercise did.
Well, I've got a suggestion for you, Miss Kathy. Why don't you bring some of that pesto to the breakfast Sunday morning? Because I'm sure there's a few of us who'd like to taste it and give you some feedback.
And it's vegan, so I'll put a little thing on there.
Well, I happen to be a vegetarian myself. Well, thank you so much, Kathy. I'm going to call Jack calling Jack. Jack calling Jack.
I'm new. Okay. Can you hear me?
I can. Nope. Now you're muted. Come on, get it together, Jack. Still muted. Still muted. There you go.
Hello.
Hello.
Okay. So I'm on?
You're on.
So I, first of all, I just want to thank Jack for being such an extraordinary mirror for me. That's kind of what, it kind of rolls into that, that when I'm really disgusted with someone or really offended and I don't recognize that I'm in them and that they are a mirror, that's when I have a chance to do something good, but don't. But when I recognize it, when I recognize it, it is joyful, it's beautiful, and it's a real nice form of self-remembering.
Good work, Jack. Us Jacks got to stick together, don't we?
Well, I'm a jackass.
Well, I'm not going to comment on that. Probably best if I keep my mouth shut. I've got another question. This one's a little different. I want to see what y'all notice about Marianne. Now, I know she had a birthday recently, and if there was a big surprise party, I didn't get invited, and I bet you didn't either, but ain't Marianne a wonder? What have you noticed about Marianne that we could all appreciate together? Now, I feel like we got a holy woman in our midst, and I appreciate the heck out of that. What do you think, Mary Leah?
I noticed this evening that our beloved Marianne is in a new location. I also noticed that her radiant smile was, it just seemed a little bit bigger today. And I think she looks like, I've noticed she has a little sun on her face. And I was just thinking, Jack, she just might be on vacation. And that just gave me a good feeling in my heart.
Yep, I noticed that shine of the sun on her face myself. Yep. Now, I bet everybody could say something appreciative about Marianne. So I want to see those hands go up. This is a real important noticing. All right, Stephen. Mr. Utz.
Well, I remember when Marianne and Gail Fitzpatrick Hoppler would accompany Father Keating to the Roaring Fork Club in Snowmass for the Circle of Friends. And they would always be concerned that he didn't stay too late beyond his, what they thought his stamina would be, but he would always catch a second wind and want to keep going, and how they would be nervously trying to usher him out, but he wanted to stay. And I just remember that triad of personalities, and it was so delightful. So that's fond memory.
Thank you, Steve. Looks like Miss Billy.
Yes, I can't say enough about Marianne. She is a delight. I notice that every time I'm around her, she is bright. And I agree with you, Jack. I think she's a holy woman in our midst. I really like that idea. So, yes, and actually, I did get to celebrate her birthday. Oops. So it wasn't a surprise. It was just a staff meeting, and we got to sing happy birthday to her. So don't get upset now, okay?
All right. If you ask me not to get upset, I will master my response.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. Looks like Greta has something to say.
Yes, one of the things that impresses me every single week is how Marianne is so centered, so three-centered, so set in her gravity, and so projective of her higher level of being of sensation when she prays for us at the opening. It every single time It raises my spirits and gives me great joy.
Hallelujah. All right, we're going to take a comment from Miss Catherine.
Yes, I notice that Marianne always seems to come across like we all really matter to her, and that this whole class really matters to her. And I also love that prayer in the beginning about how she just says the prayer is so, the one about let everything pass through you that's hurt or fearful. And I just, I've always noticed that her, wherever she is, her background is always so beautiful. So I just always imagine her home being so beautiful, just like she is.
Amen to that. She's a holy woman who walks in beauty. Well, I have another little thing I want you to notice now. I want you to look around the room where you are zooming. And I want you to see if there is anything in disarray. Are there any stacks of books or piles of papers? Now, I want you to get up off your behind and put something back in order. I'm going to count to four, and you got to get back to your Zoom. So you got to look around, look around, look around. All right. One, two, three, four. Put something back in order. Oh, I see some people getting up out of their chairs. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, I'm going to leave you to that. And I'm going to turn this train wreck back over to Marianne pretty quick here. But wait, Granny, is that you? I've been looking for you everywhere. You've been here the whole time? It's quite a shock when you notice the elephant in the room, don't you? Well, the elephant in the room, I'll be. Well, do you have any words of wisdom for the Journey School, Maud, about noticing? You know, Jack, I really have nothing. I am noticing a vast emptiness. Do you want to go get a bite to eat? No, dear, it's not that kind of emptiness. Huh. Well, that's an interesting thing to notice. But I think we're out of time, so why don't you and I go down to the trough and get a drink, and we're going to turn this back to you, Marianne. Bye, y'all. So long, suckers.
Well, what can I say after that? I think we have received all and everything, all and everything. At this point, we can just notice one another, thank God for our time together, and join together in praying and affirming that God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully, and how blessed I am to simply remember God. Protect us, Lord, while we stay awake, and watch over us as we sleep, that awake we may keep watch with Christ, and asleep, rest in Christ's peace. Amen.